This is KCUR 89.3. When a lot of us are in pain, we simply take a pill and feel better. But overuse of pain pills, specifically opioids, has become a huge problem in the U.S. There are plenty of ways to reduce pain without opioids, so why aren't more doctors using them? KCUR's Alex Smith reports.
A few years ago, Renee Molden's doctors told her they wanted to take her off hydrocodone pills.
I was mad. I'll be honest. I was mad. I was frustrated.
Molden struggles with pain due to fibromyalgia, bulging discs, and degenerative disc disease. She says the three opioid pills a day that doctors wanted her to stop taking seemed to be the only way she could make it through work, go shopping, or even fix dinner.
It felt like they were taking a part of my life away from me.
Her doctors recognized that her pain was probably chronic, and they worried about a woman in her late 30s being on opioids for decades. They wanted her to try non-opioid drugs, or yoga, maybe meditation.
Meditation was something that I thought was not. I was like, that's crap. You know, how is that going to help with anything?
For Dr. Mohammed Farhan, diplomatic conversations with patients like Molden are part of his daily routine. He directs a pain management program that doesn't prescribe opioids.
We do have patients, one or two patients almost every day, who are upset that they're not getting their opioid pill. But the idea is to give them other options.
Farhan's clinic specializes in treating patients with chronic pain who want to avoid the side effects and potential dependency problems of opioids. He says the first step is getting them over the idea that they can eliminate pain entirely. This expectation can be especially dangerous for people who rely on increasing doses of opioids.
Our idea of being completely pain-free can lead us to a place when they end up with more pain, no improvement in their quality of life after being on high doses of opioid medications, which can be harmful to the point that they may die.
Farhan says opioids have their place right after surgery or an injury or for cancer pain. But for patients with issues like back pain or other long-term problems, he favors non-opioid drugs and treatments. Many of these treatments by themselves don't have the same pain-reducing effects as high-voltage opioids, so he pairs them with mind-body techniques like meditation, hypnosis, biofeedback, and yoga to help patients control stress, which can make pain worse.
When you are under the stress, you are noticing the pain more, or you're focused on it more. And then if you are distracted and if you have other coping skills which you can use to relax or distract your mind, then you may not be feeling that much pain.
Opioid prescriptions nationwide have declined after peaking in 2010, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. But advocates for non-pain management say alternatives to opioids still aren't being used as much as they should be. Dr. Bob Twillman is the executive director of the Academy of Integrative Pain Management in Lenexa and says there's a reason for that.
Doctors don't know a whole lot about those things.
About half of opioid prescriptions are written by primary care doctors, not pain specialists. A 2011 study showed that U.S. medical schools offer a median of just 9 hours of training on pain management. That's less than 1% of the curriculum.
The content that we have in medical schools is really very limited. And then once people are in practice, they don't have the opportunity to use those other interventions.
Then there's the matter of payment. A recent large-scale research review published by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services shows that non-drug treatments can help reduce pain, but lots of insurers still aren't sold on paying for them.
Reimbursement for procedures is generally very good. Reimbursement for medications is generally pretty good as well. Once you get beyond those two things, reimbursement begins to tail off.
Last year, the federal government released the National Pain Strategy. It's a large-scale plan created by doctors, researchers, and other health experts that recommends a much bigger role for non-opioid pain management, including changes to medical education and insurance. Many health advocates like the plan, but have been disappointed there hasn't been much follow-up. Twillman says he's still hopeful.
It's just a very slow go. And some of it's going to require that some money be appropriated. So we also have to get the message to Congress that they're going to have to step up to help us accomplish what's in that strategy.
But the hardest thing may not be convincing politicians, insurance companies, or med schools so much as convincing patients like Renee Molden. She no longer takes opioids herself, although she too says there's an important place for them. But she instead relies on steroid injections to help relieve her back pain. But she admits they don't always make the pain disappear.
There are moments that it just doesn't seem like that's enough. And then I wish, oh man, I really wish I had something else.
But Molden says she's learned to accept that pain will come and go. And she's become a convert to tools like meditation and massage to help on those days when the injections aren't enough.
There are good days and there's bad days, and you just kind of have to make it through the bad days.
Even on the worst days, however, Molden takes comfort in the fact that she's facing her pain without opioids. For KCUR 89.3, I'm Alex Smith.